exploring the world of Wireless Theatre's The Springheel Saga, The Springheel Files, investigated by Cameron K. McEwen. File 2, If All the World's a Stage.
The Wireless Theatre Company's The Springheel Saga returns for its second series, which means one thing, Springheel Jack is back. The second series has us rejoin police officer Jonah Smith, now a detective inspector, some years after the apparent demise of Springheel Jack, in the fiery climax of the first series.
No! No! You're supposed to die with me! No!
Moving the story on several years, Smith finds himself again in the path of his old adversary when Springheel Jack is linked to the brutal murder of Maria Davies. It's time to face the terror of London.
The legend of Springheel Jack opens up in 1845 with the murder of Maria Davies, who probably never really existed, and Jack certainly didn't kill her, but the idea that he did has, over the years, become part of the wider mythology of the Springheel Jack legend.
Last time around, Springheel Jack was a demonic figure of fear, but now it appears he's seen quite differently, and London is in the grip of Springheel mania.
We wanted to include Springheel Jack's elevation into popular culture on the stages of Penny Gaffs and in the pages of Penny Dreadfuls, and the murder of Maria Davies was just the one dark event in 1845 that kicked off his second wave.
You do know what Springheel Jack is, don't you?
What?
Bums on seats!
Building the world of the second series like the first was carefully approached in the writing phase, as co-writer and producer Jack Bowman explains.
It's not necessarily about creating that world that you think Sherlock Holmes could walk through the door and shake hands with Fagin because he wants a bit of information from the Baker Street Boys.
Given the first series closely followed real-life events, I consulted with 14 expert Steve Ash, who I had met some months before when I first investigated the Springheel Jack legend. This time, over a pint at the Morgan Arms, he seemed a little more relaxed around me and more willing to discuss things. So let's start with Maria Davies. Who was she?
She was supposed to be a prostitute that was found dead in a ditch, allegedly, but there's no official documentation to support that whatsoever, as far as I know.
So is it possible Springheel Jack killed such a person?
Almost certainly not, I think. Some of the recent research that's been done into trying to find details of this can't even find any references to Maria Davies at all.
So, just a few years after the events of the strange case of Springheel Jack, it seems all has changed for the elusive terror of London.
His mystery, romance, and adventure, and the greatest story of our age.
With that in mind, I wondered, why begin the second series here? By the 1840s, old Jack had become something of a theatrical icon. Robert Valentine and Jack Bowman explain.
In Springheel Jack 2, we bring in Springheel mania, when basically he's cited all up and down the country and has entered the popular consciousness as a folk hero and as someone who you are less likely to meet on a London street, but you're guaranteed to meet on the stage of a Penny Gaff or in the pages of the Penny Dreadful.
Steve Ash elaborated on this for me.
The Penny Dreadful at the time was a kind of a novel with a sort of a graphic image on the cover and a short novel sold for a penny, which was very popular and had a wide circulation.
Last time we saw Smith, he was very much a man alone, but with a sense that Jack was still at large.
Smith is now a detective inspector, a very solitary man, obsessed with catching Springheel Jack. Of course, by this point, he's no longer this phantom attacker who's considered a real threat, and so Smith is no longer respected or taken seriously.
Christopher Finney, who plays Smith, continues.
He's kind of an outcast. There are certain colleagues that sort of look at him in a slightly suspicious way and don't quite trust him.
What did I tell you? Scary Smith? Right on cue.
Inspector Garrick? Guess who? Done.
Smith's investigations bring him into the path of Inspector Garrick, played by Neil McCormick, and Sergeant Skears, played by Philip Lawrence.
Inspector Garrick? I didn't expect to find you, eh?
This isn't your patch, Smith.
Well, it's not yours either, yet here we are.
How did they approach the character dynamic between the three of them? I asked Neil McCormick.
The script for this was so well written that there was such a beautiful bedrock to build on with the character of Inspector Garrick.
Philip Lawrence further explains.
I think a lot of its strength is in its familiarity. It borrows from so many things.
I don't want him called Scary Smith or anything else other than Sir in my presence again.
They're also both obsessed in their own ways. Smith is obsessed with Springhill Jack, and Inspector Garrick is obsessed with catching master criminal
Dreadful Penny.
But just when things are looking bleak,
Smith doesn't see it coming. There's a knock at the door.
Hello, Joe.
Charlotte FitzRandolph, last seen at the end of the first series, returns to Jonah, having spent several years investigating Springhill Jack herself.
In the second series, Charlotte's pretty different. She's a bit more worldly wise, but I also think she's a bit more sad. She's kind of full of regret about Jonah and what could have been.
In this series, we meet a collection of theatrical characters. However, the one person particularly excited to be there is our narrator, James Malcolm Rymer.
Who the bloody hell are you?
Oh, my card.
James Malcolm Rymer.
Freelance journalist for the News of the World.
Possibly one of the most important characters in Springhill Jack 2 is James M. Rymer, played by John Holden White.
Also, author of The Black Monk. Perhaps you've heard of it.
We needed a journalist figure who would represent all of the writers of Penny Dreadfuls. So we used Rymer as a vessel for all of them.
So, was he a simple fictional creation? Robert Valentine tells me otherwise.
The real Rymer was indeed a writer of Penny Dreadfuls. He wrote such works as Varney the Vampire, Ada the Betrayed, and The String of Pearls, which was, I think, one of the, if not the, first appearance of Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
With Charlotte's return and the arrival of James Rymer in his life, Smith is soon back on the trail, drawn to London's seedier theatre world. He re-meets Jack in the most unlikely place. Springhill Jack and Punch and Judy? I asked Steve Ash about this.
Well, according to a Victorian journalist, Henry Mayhew, he did indeed. I mean, the devil was actually called Springhill Jack. We don't know if there was any character change. I imagine it was still the same character, the same story. It was just that the devil was referred to as Springhill Jack.
However, for this sequence to work, the team had to call in Jane Dean, who provided all the specialist voice work as Mr. Punch, as well as the mysterious copycat Jack throughout Series 2, with the aid of a swazzle.
I learnt how to swazzle when I was 21-ish. It was my first job out of drama school, and I had to learn how to do a Punch and Judy show.
I asked how difficult it was to use.
I think it took me about a week to get it right, and about a week to actually stop gagging on the swazzle mechanism.
No Punch and Judy man can call himself a professor until he swallowed his swazzle at least twice.
Swallowed his what?
I wondered if there were differences in swazzling for radio rather than for live theatre.
I've only ever done swazzling as part of a live show before, so to do swazzling on the radio is a little bit different. Well, there's more acting involved, I think, and also, like other actors in the radio show, I was also being directed and being told what to do. Do I need to be louder, quieter, more menacing, more sinister, more scary, more frantic?
Next up at the Penny Gaff is a melodramatic performance by actors Makepeace and Thackeray, performing the murder in the Red Barn.
Thank you! Thank you! Welcome all to Here I Am, the murder in the Red, Red Barn.
Which has its roots in another real-life event, so Steve Ash tells me.
Well, the Red Barn was a big sensation at the time, and it was another one of those cases which was fictionalised and became the focus of many sort of plays and ballads and things like this. It was actually a murder. One Maria Martin was murdered by a fiancé, William Calder, in 1827, and James Lee tracked down the murderer and arrested him.
You are Detective Inspector Jonah Smith, aren't you? The policeman sworn to capture Springhill Jack. The same Jonah Smith of Scratch Row who arrested Thomas Milbank at Old Ford.
That wasn't me. That was James Lee.
James Lee, who arrested the Red Barn murderer, William Corder, was also the arresting officer who arrested Thomas Milbank in the original Springhill Jack case as well. So it all tied in.
It's also lovely to use that play because it was, next to Spring Hill Jack, the comparable thing in terms of theatre.
It was a blockbuster.
Also, it seems, the writing team went to great lengths to explore the world of the Red Barn play itself.
It came from a book by Michael Kilgariff, who put together a load of Victorian melodramas.
As the episode reaches its climax, and both the investigation and the play unfold, Charlotte reveals there may now be more at stake than even Smith realised.
What's his name?
Joe, you must listen. I told him everything, and now we are in terrible danger.
Which leads to a shocking development. Spoiler alert, listeners.
But in Paris, he called himself...
Charlotte?
Joe!
But how did they break the news to Jessica Dennis? Jack Bowman explains.
We had a test read through the scripts before we'd taken them into production, and Jess Dennis came along, and we hadn't told her she was going to be killed off. So we got to the end of the first episode where Charlotte died, and she kind of looked at me, I looked at her, I mouthed sorry.
I found out that poor old Charlotte was being killed off. Unbelievable. The read-through of the second series, just sort of sat down and there it was in black and white.
When you're having the read-through, the actors are your audience, so we wanted to judge the effect her death would have, and the only way to do that was not tell them what was going to happen.
I asked Jessica how she felt about this.
Yeah, I was upset about it because I would have liked to have seen her and Smith have some happiness with each other.
But why take this dramatic step?
Well, the decision to kill off Charlotte was built in because we knew we wanted to do a 39 steps style approach to this particular adventure. And Charlotte was the character to bring back with information and then kill her.
Christopher Finney had his own feelings on this murderous plot twist.
Yeah, everybody loves a good death scene, and you know, to get into it and play that scene and play Smith's reaction to what happens to her was pretty heartbreaking for him.
It just works so beautifully. You know, the audience has a relationship with her by this point and really likes her by this point. So if you kill her, it's kind of like killing Hooks. You kind of guaranteed an emotional reaction from doing so.
He killed her!
Things happen to Smith that change him. The death of Charlotte has a profound impact on him, but sort of drives him even more, I think, after that, to pursue the journey and find out what it all means.
By the end of the first episode of The Legend of Springheel Jack, Smith is on the run, accused of a murder he didn't commit. Who killed Charlotte FitzRandolph? What connects her death to the Harlequin players? Who was the man she met in Paris? And who can Smith trust in his pursuit of the truth?
And so Smith ran, a dozen Irishmen hot on his heels, and poor Charlotte's blood still warm on his hands.
The next episode will see Smith look for new alliances, face new threats, as well as watch his former colleagues turn against him. In my next file, I will explore the characters around Smith as he fights to stay one step ahead of the law, which he swore to uphold. So, dear listener, where next?
Next stop, Bartholomew Fair.
Next time, File 3, All the Fun of the Fair. The Springheel Files were investigated by Cameron K. McEwen. Production assistant, Emily Best. It was edited by Marie Twejay. With thanks to George Maddox. Visit www.wirelesstheatre.com to download full episodes of the Springheel Saga. The Springheel Files were produced by Jack Bowman and Robert Valentine for Wireless Theatre.
At The Halifax, we can help make your home a more sustainable one. Just sign up to one of our online events in partnership with Energy Saving Trust and find out how to make your home more energy efficient. So whether you want to learn how to insulate your home, find out more about draft proofing, or just discover other sustainable home solutions, we can help. Visit halifax.co.uk/home events to find out more. Halifax, it's a people thing.